This lecture was recorded at the Orologola Hertz Institute for International Teacher Training Kiruv Seminar on the Fast of Tammuz Taf Shin Samech Tet. For further information about Orologola, please call 972-2581-0315 or email lagola@or.edu. That's LAGOLAH at OHR.EDU.
The remainder of our program includes Rabbi Olowick, who is our next speaker, Rav Noach Olowick, after which Rav Zev Lef, the Rav of Matis Yo, also both of them are world well-renowned speakers. And I will make a summation after try to summarize the events of today. Hopefully it's made an impression. And I would also like to give a very short, practical shiur on Avas Hashem. Because the reason we do Kiruv is because that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to do. And I would like to give a practical shiur so that someone can learn how to love Hashem. So that we can learn. I'd like to introduce, it's my pleasure to introduce my brother, Rav Noach Olowick. This is what you've all been waiting for. Please, Rav Noach.
The subject that I was asked to speak about, how the world has changed since Rosh Hashanah, jobs, mortgages, house foreclosures. How do we look at these things? And how does it affect us? Those who are not in the world of finance or have lost jobs, etc. That's the question. How do we look at these turbulent times? It says, Dor li dor yishabach ma'asecha. Every door is mishabeach you. What does l'shabeach mean? To when am I supposed to go? I'm a guest here, and a good guest listens to what the Balabas says, except for Tzei. But over here, we listen to Tzei also. I'm supposed to speak until 7, and it's my schus to be here, but I'll finish at 7. It says, Dor l'dor yishabach ma'asecha. L'shabeach means to improve on. L'hashbiach, to make something better. Dor l'dor. Every generation is on something that the other door didn't give. Now, l'aniz daiti, the word door comes from the word l'dar there. To roll downhill. We are smaller than the previous diris. What does that mean? It means on an absolute level, someone who was by Matan Torah is different than someone who wasn't. But except for an absolute level, when it comes to being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being an Eved to Hashem, we can make it also in the same way. And that's what Yishabach means. Yishabach means we can add a niggin. We can add a song to the praise of Hashem that the previous door didn't add, didn't have. Of course, we measure a person's greatness on two wavelengths. One is an absolute level. How much do you know? How much can you understand? How great are you? This is what's called in the Lashon of Chazal, a sar and an eved. Rab Chanina ben Daisi came to learn by Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was the Rosh Hashiva. He was the Gadol Hador in learning. His son became ill. And he asked Rab Chanina ben Daisa, says, please, could you be mispalo? And he was. And the child recovered. And his Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's wife said, what about if you had davened? If you had put your head down, then wouldn't have helped. Does it mean Chanin is bigger than you? Chanin is the Talmud. He knows less. Says, no. I'm a sar lifnei hamelech. I'm a prince, a minister by the Ribbono Shel'olam. He's an eved. What does that mean? The tells the Rashiva Zecheinu Livracha, Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, says, we measure a person's greatness, a person's schar, not a person's greatness. A person's schar is measured in two wavelengths. One is, how much did you accomplish? Somebody loses money, and an ani finds it. The mitzvah of shikcha. Person left a bundle in the field. He forgot it there. Did he want to forget it there? No. Did he work hard to forget his bundle of tefillah in the field? No. But he gets a mitzvah. The ani came, a poor man came, found this grain, and he was sustained by it. There was an outcome. I did something. I built something. I get reward for it. But there's another wavelength. And that's, how hard did I work? How much effort did I put out? Someone came to the yeshiva a couple of days ago, and I pointed him out to the bachur I was talking to. 41 years ago, he came to Torah Or. He was a war orphan from Europe. He lived as a five-year-old in Amsterdam. It was very dangerous to be a Jewish child in Amsterdam. He came to yeshiva, didn't know anything. I'll never forget. He had in front of him a Masechta Brachos. And next to the Masechta Brachos was a Sinsino Gemara, which is the precursor to the Art Scroll. Right? There was a time before Art Scroll. Yeah? He had a Sinsino Gemara. And then he had a Jastrow. And then an English-Dutch dictionary to translate any words he didn't understand from the Jastrow, which had translated a word in Aramaic from the Gemara. Every word, four books. Brachos happens to have a lot of words on every page. And if you add in Rashi, a lot of words. He worked. He sweated over it. Weeks and weeks over a page of Gemara. After you know what the words mean, you have to punctuate them. And then you have to get pshat. Such a person is an eved lifnei hamelech. An eved is someone who works hard. And tefillah, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, he's closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam than I am. I'm a Rosh Yeshiva. I teach a lot of Talmidim. I know more Torah than him. But he's an eved lifnei hamelech. An eved in tefillah, vavarta, his tefillah is worth more. Shiva Rav Hutna Zecheinu Livracha said, when he spoke about Rav Aaron Kotler Zecheinu Livracha, he said the same thing. An eved v'sar, he said, a sar is someone who knows, has a great mind, can conceive and understand great things. An eved is someone who went through nisyonis, who went through difficulties, who went through hardships, had to work. Said Rabban was both things. And that's hard. And the Ozhar of Zecheinu Livracha said, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Madua lo yireisem l'daber ba'avdi b'moshe. Moshe was eved lifnei hamelech, and he was sar lifnei hamelech. It is very hard to be a super genius who learns and knows and leads and is big and still be an eved. That's a Moshe Rabbeinu. So even for some of us who may not be a sar lifnei hamelech, we cannot compete with previous generations, but we have our addition of the ability to stand in nisoyon, to stand in tests. This Rav Tzadik Zecharin Levrocha says in Tzidkas HaTzadik, he says, in Olam Haba, you measure a person by his mind. How much can he understand? My tzushtel tzadikim yoshvim vatrasem baroshehem, in their heads. How much, what kind of antenna am I issued? We benefit from Hashem's radiance. How much can I understand? How big am I is measured by how much? In Olam Hazer, it's Rachmana Liba, boy. Hashem wants our heart, our emotional reality, our ability to stand in the shyness. Yerosai Kademis L'Chachmasai, a person who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who feels close to Him, who's grateful to Him, who's a hard worker. That's the measure of a person in this world. Not how much. Not how much. Some of us are born with smaller brains. Some of us are born with less healthy bodies. Some of us are born into less, quote, end quote, chashuva families. Everybody got a different map. And that's the happiness of life. We have a different map. I'm different than you. And that refers to the Dairis also. Rav Kreisver, Zecharenu Livracha, to those of you who remember his name, Rav Chaim Kreisver, was a genius's genius. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula Baal Peh. He was Isaac in Chesed. He was Isaac in kindliness, in tzedakah, in giving. He said, why? We cannot compete with the Chafetz Chaim in his righteousness, in his tzedakah. We can't compete with Rebbe Kivega in his knowledge of Torah. It's not possible. But bread is bread is bread. Chesed's chesed. Chesed's chesed. You do kindliness. This is kind. You feed a hungry person. You get stalker. That doesn't matter what door you're in. So we have Yimlach Hashem Li Olam. That's the Teva. The Teva where Hashem is Melech. That's one piece of time called Li'olam. That's what the Malbim says. Halukayich Tzion, the Hashgacha Pratis, that the special divine providence that he shows to Tzion, that's L'dor V'dor. Every door is different. Every door is different. Shuasim Ha'isa L'netzach, forever. Hashem is our Yeshua, our salvation. That word doesn't taste so good. But he's our help. Chuasim alishal and netzach, v'sikvosam, v'chol dor v'dor. Every door is different. Tikva, by the way, the Gaon says, means hoping in the short term. Liyachel is to hope to Hashem in the long term. And l'kavos is in the short term. Kivisu Hashem kivso nashi. V'shuasso kivinu kol hayam. Every day is different. So what I'm trying to say as a point of introduction, before we begin this subject, we have to know every door is different. And every door has a specialness that has not been duplicated ever. Dor l'dor yishabach ma'asecha. Every door is mashabiach, improves. On the Kiddush Shem Shemayim, which is what this world is all about. This door, this generation, has seen people coming from nowhere to Judaism, leaving behind financial security. My Rebbe Zecharenu Livracha, Rav Simcha Wasserman, said, in our times, the Ribbono Shel Olam made a miracle. What's the miracle? The girls only want to marry people who can't earn a living. In Poland, before Sarah Schneer came, forget it. The yeshiva bochum had to wait and wait and wait. A ben kvetcher, a batlan, a loafer. Today, I remember a case, actually it was an Orson Meir boy who was a doctor, and he had a high defect. He got, you know, no one should find out, chas v'shalom. They want They want ruchnius. And people are sending their kids to schools where maybe with a calculator they'll be able to add when they finish eighth grade. Yeah? Why? Because the ruchnius is better. I'm not going to comment on that. Yeah? But the door is thirsty for Torah. They're very big. It's a big door. We shouldn't look down on ourselves. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent us a nisayon. This is not to say that's the first time in history that there have been financial crises. That there has been, the security has been pulled out from beneath us. It's not the first time in history. But I wanted to explain to you why this is such a difficult nisayon for us. In 1929, there was a stock market crash in the United States. And there was a depression. Now, it was a worldwide depression. Who suffered more, the Polish or the Americans? In Poland, there was also a depression. It was terrible in Poland. Who suffered more? The Americans. The Polish were always hungry. So they got a little hungrier. An American is used to the roaring 20s. He's used to cars and restaurants and clothes and is it. And then you drop him. That's what you call in halacha an ani ben tovim. Ani ben tovim means a person who used to be wealthy, or used to be used to a certain standard of living. The halacha is, not paskening, but you could look it up, that a person who's used to a certain standard of living, even a very high standard of living, if there's enough money in a community chest, you pay for, to have him maintain that standard of living, because that's called a need. Hashem should protect us from having that need. But the reality is the people in Poland were much worse off, but the people in the United States suffered more. For many decades, the Ribbono Shel Olam has cushioned us, has cushioned people to with luxuries. One of the mashgichim in yeshiva once said to me, the boys can't learn without air conditioning. No air conditioner? Forget it. So I said to him, did you grow up with air conditioning? No, when I was a child, very, very, very long time ago. Yeah. Yeah. I was born 82 years after the end of the Civil War, which is, that's a long time ago. Yeah. Air conditioning. Air conditioning was an amazing luxury. So when I grew up, so you sweated. So you get used to sweating. But a kid who never saw, I haven't been in a school anywhere in the world, pretty much, especially the United States, where there wasn't air conditioning in the first grade, if it's a hot climate. Of course there's air conditioning. When you get used to something, you miss it. So this door is suffering. And that has to be put into place before we even begin. First of all, I want to talk for a couple of minutes about money. Like, what is money? Is money important? You know, Avraham Avinu was a rich man. And he had a big business. He had a big cattle business. And don't think it was just shepherds. He had people who had to make muzzles and put the muzzles on the faces of the animals and then repair muzzles because he didn't let his animals graze in the fields, right? It was a big deal. A lot of muzzles. There's a lot of work putting into it. He was a wealthy man. The Kohen Gadol, if he wasn't wealthy, they had to make him wealthy. Had to be rich. It's one of the three matanis, money. Money, Rabbi was mechabed ashirim. He was mechabed rich people. Money's not nothing. When does money become a problem? When it stops being technical. Avraham Avinu, Rav Miller Zecher Levracha used to say, a rich man is an independent thinker. I don't need you to like me. I'm going to stop and come to my conclusions and think for myself. I don't need you for anything. I'm wealthy. The Kohen Gadol, the Nevi'im, had to be wealthy. Had to be independent minds. Poor person has other things to think about other than, is this correct or not? Has to think about, does he have a meal for tomorrow? Money means something. The problem is when money stops being technical and starts being emotional. Rav Moshe is an expert in Sholem Bayis. He will tell you, I think, money in a marriage, when it becomes a problem, is because it stands for something else. It stands for, am I a man? Do you love me? I feel insane. It's never the technical lack of money. There's somebody who likes me. He'd say, until about a year ago, I think he still likes me, but until about a year ago, he's been faxing me things from internet. I've never been on internet. Yeah. I've never been on internet. I've also never eaten pizza. So there are certain things, there's strange things about me. Yeah. And I've never been on a roller coaster. Yeah. Look, I'm afraid of heights. Like, why would I go on a roller coaster for? Like, you know. The fact that I'm going to have a platinum card in LL means the Rebbe Hashem has a sense of humor. Yeah? And I don't like to speak. I happen to be a very shy person. I don't like to speak. But I don't know. I don't know what happened. So he faxed me. Anyone else in the world, he would have emailed, but I don't have email. Yeah? That they have discovered, they means the psychologists, that there is no relationship at all between happiness and money. After you are lifted out of poverty, and now you have what to eat, there's no correlation at all between happiness and money. Money is chashuv, it's important. When it's a tool in my hands, when I own it, it doesn't own me. When money becomes emotional, then you got a problem. When money stands for something else other than this is what it is, I'll give you an example. It says, Kriva daita yinuka esel zuze. The children have a love of money. That's why you can't do business with them, because you offer them, just like these Indians on Manhattan Island, you offer them $24 and they sell you Manhattan Island. So kids, they see these shiny coins and you could just sell them a bill of goods. You could just cheat them. Because kids love money. You know what my favorite question is? Why? Why is the most important question a person could ask. You keep asking why. Why is it kravidaita the yinuka etzel zuze? Why is it that kids have a special kiyuv hadas, special affection for money? So I'll tell you what I think. People look and hope and yearn for things they don't have. A person who's sick, anything for health. A person who doesn't have parnasa, please, I need parnasa. People look to fill what they're lacking. What is a child lacking? A child is lacking control. You take this kid wherever you want to take him, you do with him whatever you want to do with him, and he has no control. We're not going to get into parenting now, but a lot of parenting problems is who's in control. A kid comes into a candy store, and he says, Mamish, a gan eden atachtein. A mamish, a whole gan eden of white sugar and food coloring. Ah! And the storekeeper just like shoos him out. And then he takes it into his pocket, and he pulls out a piece of metal. All of a sudden, the shopkeeper becomes his eved nirza. He becomes his slave. Yes, sonny, what would you like? Would you like some of this? Would you like some of that? It's magic. What's magic? Might say, what's magic, Rabbi say? Magic is when I can't tell how this caused that. The frum word, it's a real word. There is such a thing. But it's a segula. What's a segula? You know, I'm a good Litvak, but there's a segula, Levi Yitzchak ben Sora Sasha, which is the Rebbe Levi Yitzchak ben Ditchev, who's also the Boston Rebbe who needs a Refuah Shleima. There's a segula that if you put his name into your luggage, so it's a segula not to lose your luggage. Now, I have no idea what one thing has to do with the other. And I'm a good Litvak, but I put his name in anyway. I believe! You understand? I believe! Okay, I'm not making fun of these things because I don't know how they work. I don't know how red bands around your wrist work. I don't know how these things work. But okay, magic is sort of like that also. Like, I don't see cause and effect. So this kid, he sees this shiny piece of metal. He doesn't know how he does it. Yeah? It doesn't taste good. It's like, you know, it's not... But all of a sudden, he has what? He has power. Azai! This gives me power, I want it. So Rabbosai, the second point, the first point is, we live every door, including our door, is a Meshabech Ma'asecha. We improve on the Kavod Shemayim that the Chofetz Chaim didn't have. We stand in the shyness that the Chofetz Chaim didn't have. The second point is, we have to learn to look at money in a certain way. Money is technical. If I have it, good. If I don't have it, also good. I just have to, Rav Shach, Zichrayna Levracha, told a great man. He was talking about Shidduchim, about, you know, how much, okay? How much money. So he told him, Marshal, you're going to buy an Esrog. There's Esrogim that sell for $200, and there's Esrogim that sell for $300, and there's Esrogim that sell for more. Some Esrogim sell for $50. You have a $100 bill in your pocket, for which you have set aside for buying an Esrog. See that $200 box of Esrogim? It's not yours. What does that mean? It means nothing other than it's not yours. It's not emotional. And if you don't have enough money for an Esrog, so you borrow from someone. If you're over 13, matana manas lachzir. It's not emotional. It's technical. Money is technical. What can I do with it? Avram Avinu, you know, he was able to do with it. He was able to influence people. Rav Miller Zechayin Levracha said, why is it that the three times in history, the greatest Talmud Chacham was also the wealthiest person in the world? Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Ashi, Ravina, and Rebbe and Rav Ashi. One Sanhedrin. Three times in the world, you needed somebody who had the respect of everyone. People respect one of two things. They respect either scholarship or they respect money. The Romans, they respected money, and only money. Rav Miller tells over that Josephus says a story that they came to Rome, they paid a lot of money to get into the Roman emperor, to complain about the viceroy in Rome who's sucking their blood. His taxes were unbearable. Can you please, can you get rid of him? So you know what the Roman emperor said to them? It cost them a lot of money to get in. He said, a lot of bribes. He said, you know something? The one who's there already is like a mosquito who's already drunk blood. He's less hungry. I send you a new person, I'm sending you a hungry mosquito. Yeah? It's not smart. Just leave the old one there. The Romans respected money. Chachmei Yisrael respected scholarship. Ravina, Rebbe and Ravina needed to do something. They needed to get everybody together. Rebbe to redact the Mishnah. Ravashi to close the Talmud. What does it mean, close the Talmud? It means, until then, you could learn the halacha shenemar. Because the pasuk. No more! From now on, you want a pasuk in the shaila, it's a gemara. That's what closing the Talmud means. He had to get everybody together to agree. The Romans, like all dictatorships, are against crowds. You can't get together. Someone once asked a survivor of the Holocaust, how is it that 10 Germans with submachine guns could control 10,000 Jews? Why don't you just stampede? So he said, it's very simple. There was one big avera. You couldn't talk. If you said one word, you got a bullet in your head. So if you can't talk, then you have 10,000 individuals. So it's one individual against 10 submachine guns. So that's true. So dictatorships don't like people getting together because maybe they're plotting. The Jews are rebelling. They were petrified of revolutions. So in order to allow a gathering, especially of Jewish leaders, they had to respect the person. And they respected money. Rebbeinu HaKadosh, that's Rebbe Miller Zechayin Levracha. Money is technical. Money doesn't mean anything to me on an emotional level. In All for the Boss, so Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman's wife, he lost his money in the 1929 crash. She said her life was no different. It was the same thing. We have money, nish money. You can afford it, good. You can't afford it, good. It's technical. De-emotionalize it. We need to know a klal gadol, a big rule. You are as stable as the thing that you're anchored in. There's a Gemara in Masechta Talmid. The Gemara says that Alexander the Great had, there's a list of conversations between Alexander the Great and Chachmei Yisrael, called the Chachmei HaNegev, the wise men of the south. The south is a place where there's less gashmias. It's better, if you want to be wise, you're better off in the south. The menorah was in the south, not our subject. And they asked him the following question. Is it better to live on the ocean, or is it better to live on dry land? That's what he asked them. Like, what does that mean? So the guy says, this world is called an ocean. An ocean is an unstable place. Rishoyim kayom nigrosh. They're evil like a driven sea. They're unstable because they're anchored in something unstable. Olam haba is olam ha'emes. It's the world of truth. Truth is stable. It's like dry land. So what was his question? Alexander the Great said, I'm a very successful olam hazanik. I have succeeded more than anyone in history. I've conquered the world. How about me? Is it better for me? Where is it better for me to live? So they answered him, Kol nechuseyama. All those who go down to the sea, the sailor boys, they're successful on the ocean. But yishuv hadas, peace of mind, you don't have until you get onto dry land. Even sailor boys, even successful people in this world, it's not the place. It's not stable. You are as stable as what you're anchored in. And your stability is related to your definition of who you are inside. Now, this is a morale. Maybe people have heard me speak before. I've heard me say this morale before. This morale, to me, is a life motto. It's a life directional, this morale. The morale is the following question. It says in the Mishnah, who's rich, who's happy with his lot? Who's wise, who learns from everyone? Who's strong, who can conquer his inner space, his character? So the morale is Akasha. Why don't you give the simple pshat? Simple pshat is rich is a lot of money. Wise is you know a lot. Strong is big muscles. You see, by the way, from that kasha, that if you have a simple pshat and a complicated pshat, choose the simple one, as long as it's true. You don't just say, I want a complicated pshat. It's a kasha. Why didn't the Mishnah give the simple pshat? So he says a principle, and this is a life principle. It's a principle for anyone who wants to be emotionally healthy. The measure of who you are can't be relative. What's called a lot of money? I have $100,000. I can go to Zimbabwe and buy myself a palace. I can go to Beverly Hills and buy myself a doghouse. And that's not an exaggeration. A fancy doghouse. What's called a lot of money? If that's a lot, is how much? Well, it depends where you are. Then it's not you, it's them. Depends where you are. What's called wisdom? What's called wise? How much you know? How much you know? Well, that depends where you are. It depends where you are. Then it's their ignorance, not your wisdom. I walk into a kindergarten, I'm the strongest guy in the room. Does that mean I have big muscles? Anything that's relative is not you. I was in England a couple of trips ago. There's a British runner whose name I have forgotten, who keeps breaking his own records. So they asked him, like, why are you running so hard? I mean, you're the champion, so what do I have to keep running hard for? So he said, how everyone else is doing doesn't matter to me. It's my personal best that matters. Lahavdil. Rabban Kotel Zechayin Levrochi. He was a genius, his genius. You ever see a picture of him after a shir? Total, complete, utter exhaustion. Like, what do I have to work so hard for? The answer is it makes no difference how well I'm doing. if I'm not doing my personal best. You never measure your success based on something outside of you. When you got that straight, then nothing can knock you over. Sure, times are turbulent. But what's my definition of self? What's my definition of self? I want to give you one of my personal proofs that Torah is of a divine origin. Reb Chaim Vital, Reb Volbe brings down in his sefer on Chassanim, a Reb Chaim Vital, who says a person's judgment in the next world, did you live a good life or not? You know what it's going to depend on? How nice you were to your wife. Now that's petrifying. He says, if you are maknid her tomid, if you constantly cause her anguish, it won't matter how much stock you gave, how much Torah you learned. Now, in the 1500s, no one was listening to a woman. A man never would have said that in 1500, in the 1500s. So who could have said that? Only the Rebbeinu Shloim could have come up with that chiddush. My hesber in that chiddush is, because the real you is how you are at home. So mele, that's the pshat. Who you are is who you are, not who somebody else is. So this is our approach to understanding these times. I have a nisayon. There's no job. And it's a big nisayon. How big the nisayon is and how much I'm going to be able to pass it, it depends. Is this my definition of me? Am I an accountant? Am I a systems analyst? Is that who I am? Or that's what I do for a living? Now, there's a very unromantic document called the Ksuba. The Ksuba has two words in it. The most famous word is afarnes. Means I will support you. So, yes, become a systems analyst. You support your wife. There's another word, which Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky mentioned to me, I think from his father. There's another word that's even more important. Oikir. Oikir means I'll give you covet. Aha! Okay, now, if you think about it in a lumdish way, that's also panasa. Because a human being needs food and any dignity. So it's still ksuba. It's pshuta ksuba. So, I'm a systems analyst for a reason. As once the Rebbeinu Shem decides that I'm not going to be a systems analyst, then I'm not. You are plugged into things that are stable, not things that are unstable. Now, this requires preparation. For people who are still zeichet sitting in the Beis Medrash, or people who are zeichet to come visit Eretz Israel, just to visit. Rav Miller Zecheinu Levracha was never here in his lifetime, but he told my brother, Shlita, that if he got on an airplane and he came to Israel, Eretz Israel, and you got out and walked four amos and got back on a plane and went back, it'd be worth it. Rav Miller never did it because he did other things. But it would be worth the trip. See, if you're here for a day. But right now, you're in a cocoon. You know, and you're able to stop. You're able to think. There's two shtiklach which I want to end with. I have 6 minutes according to my watch. Okay, you're the boss. You're the boss. My older brother. I've always been the youngest. One is in Shah HaShishi in Sefer HaYosha. He says, this world is a place where things happen. And you have to know, and we're not talking about pessimism. Yeah? He says, Tzoch Odom Lizoer. Yeah? When the Nisayon has come, and he has to, Lotzoch Loy Lehechen Leiv Chozik Ve'amitz L'Kabo HaMo'erois. He has to prepare himself with things that are going to happen. And he should think about them before they come. He should wait. And he should say in his heart, if they don't come today, they're going to come tomorrow. If they don't come tomorrow, they're going to come after tomorrow. So when it happens, he's ready. This is Shar Hashishi Hamida Hashishis. I suggest you look it up. You have to know beforehand things are going to happen. You have to take the time now, when it's quiet. And the truth is, it's a Sfas Emes. In a couple of places. One is in Parshas Mikates. Anyone's heard me speak twice, heard this from me four times. The Sfas Emes in the beginning of Parshas Mikates. It says, not just in Egypt were there 7 years of plenty, followed by years of hunger. In every person's life, there's times of plenty that are later followed by years of when life gets more interesting. And he brings a pasuk, ki b'yom tov hayei b'tov, when things are clear and good, put it in your heart. Then b'yom ra'ah ra'eh, then you'll be able to see later. You have to appear before an aitaina. Every person's day is like that. There's always quiet islands of time, or make those quiet islands before you open the door to your house. Rav Volbe Zichrono Livracha said, a yeshiva is a beis medrash for Torah. A home is a beis medrash for chesed. Change your hat. Stop in front of the door and change your hat. Rav Miller Zichrono Livracha used to say, look at the nameplate on the door. It's your name. You're responsible. Stop. She may not be happy to see you. Supper may not be ready. Change your hat. Your definition of your success is going to be how much of a Baal Chesed you are. In yeshiva, how much of a Ben Torah you are. At work, how honest you are. A minute has 60 seconds. When you work, you work. You're getting paid. You come late, it's called stealing. Unless the Baal Bas is okay, it's Michael. There's another Sfas Emes. Says, Kiseitzi la Milchoma. Says, the Ika Nitzachon and Milchoma is Bizman Sheket. Is when it's quiet. Before the Muhammad. You wait too long. You have Shabbos. That's what Shabbos is for. Shabbos is a time to stop and take stock. If you're B'nai Torah, you're in Gan Eden. You may not be there forever. You may not be there forever. There's a machlokes. It seems to be machlokes, the Goyen and the Maral, why there's a Yetzer for money. The Goyen says it's because status. It's more of a ruchniyistik yetzer hara. I want to, you know, be able to have money and have a home, a beautiful home and a beautiful car, etc. It's gaiva. And the Maral says, of course, I wanted to buy things to make my body happy. Whatever the reason is, now is the time to disconnect love of money. Rav Mendel Kaplan, Zecharin Livrochim, when he was in Chicago, he made wine. And someone wanted to invest money with him to develop his business. But he says, in order to be successful, you have to love the dollar. So you can't do it. You can't love the dollar. You either love is an emotion. You can't love at the same time money and Torah. I can't do it. And he was not successful in making money. His choice. So to sum up, we live in difficult times. It's not the first time that times were difficult. All times are difficult. All times are difficult. You have to know your tzaddikim. You have to know people in this door are amazing. They're passing tests that the other doors never even dreamed of. That I didn't even dream of. Rav Matisyahu Salomon said if he was growing up today, he doesn't know if he would make it. Any bachur who's sitting in the yeshiva and learning and is clean, he's a tzaddik. Has so many opportunities. Nishoinus. So we have another one. Financial insecurity. Dolu doy shabach masecha. You have to know that you have a place in history. You can't compete with the Chofetz Chaim or the Vilna Gaon in many things, but in this, your door is a shabach masecha. It's a shvach ta'kodesh baruch hu. To this particular question, you need to know money is technical. My job is technical. It's important. Money is important. It matters. But it's not emotional. It doesn't stand for anything else. It's technical. Now, I didn't talk about emuna and bitachen, which also would have very germane to our subject. I chose, it was a choice, to talk about what goes on in our heads and our souls that will help fortify us to do this. We have to be anchored in dry land. We're anchored in the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're anchored in who we are, not who somebody else is. There's a lot to say about it, but this is the point that I wanted to make. We live in turbulent times, yes. A Jew can outlast anything as long as he's anchored in Judaism. He has to be anchored in something firm. And then he'd be okay. No matter what, you're going to be okay. But you have to do it, and you have to do it when it's still quiet. When you're zeichet to be in a yeshiva, or you're zeichet to a Shabbos, or you're zeichet to stay in Eretz Yisrael for a day, clear your mind and stop and look at the truths of life. And you'll say, you know, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu.